Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Hawkman number 17, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Murphy Anderson, edited by Julia Schwartz, featuring Ruse of the Robbing Raven, written by Gardner Fox, art by Murphy Anderson, and Enigma of the Escape Happy Jewel Thieves, written by Gardner Fox, art by Murphy Anderson. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go, go! Joey Mack, resentful that his early crime career as a trainer of a raven which stole for him had been halted when Eddie Poe beat him up and recovered the loot, had befriended Poe years later, while planning to humiliate him publicly. Mack gives Poe a trained raven that can recite Edgar Allan Poe's famous poem, but which also spies on Poe and reports back to Mack everything it has heard all day. Meanwhile, while carrying damaged museum relics they have been unable to take to their ship to duplicate because of the weather, Hawkman and Hawkgirl encounter jewel thieves. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. 'Tis some visitor, I muttered, tapping at my chamber door.
Quoth the raven,
"No more daylight savings time."
I hate this.
I don't know how many more years I can do it.
What do you mean?
I barely survive every time.
I just don't understand how. Why? Why we still do this?
Because they tried to get rid of it in the 70s and America rebelled and wanted it back.
I just got to the point where I was really enjoying walking the dogs in the morning, early in the morning, and the sun's coming up, and it was so delightful. And then this morning, I get up to walk the dogs at 6:15, which is when I walk the dogs.
Yes.
And I have to put my headlamps back on, and
pitch black.
Oh my god! Well, I have a headlamp, and then I have these two lamps that I wear reflective,
like a bra kind of thing.
Imagine the safety patrol in elementary school. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like that, only it's neon yellow and it's elastic. And then I have two like little clip-on lights there that are at my midsection, so I don't have to, you know, I have plenty of light for myself and the dogs when I walk. Well, damn, you know, I haven't had to use them in so long. The two clip-on wing things died during my walk this morning, but they're rechargeable. It's fine. So I just took them to work and recharged them at my computer.
You had to bring up safety patrol.
What?
I applied to be in safety patrol in fifth grade and I was not accepted, and I'm still bitter about it.
I was, and I wrote a demerit, didn't I?
What?
I don't know. We get to write demerits. It's the stupidest thing in the world. Me, fourth grade, drunk on power.
Also,
what?
Didn't it used to be you'd had like 6 months of regular time and then daylight savings time? Like they would, Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, as they call it now, that's when they would flip. And then you still had it not getting dark at 5 p.m.
What happened to us? So like we...
A big candy, that's what happened, because they wanted the change after Halloween.
We got to sleep a little bit later on Saturday night and then woke at our normal time on Sunday morning. Yours for your church, mine for mine.
Yes.
Me for mine. And so we got essentially 5 hours of sleep on Saturday night into Sunday morning. Then you came home from church. I was already in bed by the time you came home. You took a nap. I took a nap. I took a 3.5-hour nap, and I still went to bed last night at my normal time and still slept a full night, except
what?
That the sleep that I had this morning.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, it was the best. You know how like when you've slept enough and then you just sit there and you have lucid dreams and they're mm-hmm. wild and crazy mm-hmm. and you just wake up a little bit but you go back in your dream? Mm-hmm. That's what it was like for me for about an hour this morning. It's just the best sleep and I was not tired at all today. I felt so refreshed. How did you feel?
Oh, you know, fine. I'm super old, so I always am tired.
Well, we lost half our day yesterday.
I was born tired, as my mother would say.
Yes.
Well, our circadian rhythms is all off, is what happened.
Yeah, yeah. So there it is. It is what it is. We're here on Monday night with the sun still out bright, and we're recording our podcast.
That's right. And it's Hawkman.
Yay!
Fighting the Raven. That's why I quelled the Raven.
Exactly.
Hawkman number 17. December 1966, the ghost of Edgar Allan Poe haunts Hawkman as he falls victim to the ruse of the robbing raven, we yeah. read on the cover.
Yeah, okay, so we're
Look
going
at in. Hawkman's got that cestus wrapped around his hand. I don't think that happens in the story.
A cestus?
Isn't that what it's called?
God, how do you know that?
I know because I know all about pop culture and Dr. Joyce Brothers,
uh-huh.
the famous psychiatrist from television in the 70s. She got her start on the $64,000 question,
mm-hmm.
and she presented herself as an expert on boxing, which she was not. She went and learned everything there was to know about boxing, and I think that was her winning question, is what is the wrap that Roman boxers wrapped around their hand. And when they had the big cheating scandal, she was famously the only one not indicted because she actually did know all the facts about boxing that she just learned.
Wow.
Just to get on the game show.
And you remember that about that, from that?
Yeah, and silly. I can't remember the name of the luchadoro mask or the what's the thing where they jump around the buildings? Parkour.
Parkour. Well, you mean those two things that you just...
Those two things that I've...
just You said that you don't remember, but you just...
Well, I remember them because I've had listeners call and complain, so...
Okay, so, splash page. Hawkman is fighting the Raven, and he yep. says, "It's never more time for you, Raven."
Good one, Hawkman. Mm-hmm. Black bird of prey, the Raven. Bird of ill omen, the Raven. Tricky and sly and clever, he lays his plans to steal a certain object which will bring his victim ill, fame, and himself a fortune. And when the black bird of evil strikes, in swoops another quote-unquote bird, the justice-fighting Hawkman.
Ruse of the Robbing Raven. Story by Gardner Fox, art by Murphy Anderson.
We have a flashback here. A hot summer night in Midway City in the year 1950. And through the open window of a tenement house swoops a raven and steals a bag of money from a young man who's got the money in a bag to pay rent with, apparently.
I guess that's what they used to do in 1950, put all their money in a bag.
Yeah.
Out flies the thieving raven. Out leaps young Eddie Poe.
Eddie Poe, that's P-O-W-E.
Uh-huh.
The raven gets away, but he races across town, following the raven. And what does he find? A gang of Utes.
He knows where it's going. He says he knows where it's heading because this kid, who's the biggest bully in all of the whole neighborhood, looks like Alfred E. Newman.
He does. He's a redhead, so you know he's a bully.
Has a trained bird
yeah.
to steal things for him.
Joey Mack,
mm-hmm.
toughest kid in the neighborhood. So Eddie Poe finds this gang of thugs, and he starts punching Joey Mack in the face.
Mm-hmm. Wham, wham, wham. And he punches hard. Like, he knocks this kid out. Well, yeah. He doesn't knock him out, but he really lands and punches him. So the whole gang is looking at Joey, Eddie Poe, knocking Joey Mack out.
Holy chi.
Holy chi.
Joey absorbs a flurry of hard fists, and just then, a social worker on his way home from late calls barges in on the fight and breaks it up.
Break it up, you two. Shake hands and go home. It's way past your bedtime. Does Eddie get his money back? Oh, yeah, he says, give me back my money.
Presumably, yes. That was the beginning, 1950. And in the ensuing years, Joey Mack and Eddie Poe became good friends.
Now, this is an example of what we now call a slow burn.
Long game, yes.
Long game, yeah. Because Joey Mack plans his revenge.
For 16 years, mm-hmm. has pretended to be Eddie's friend, mm-hmm. but inside he hates his guts.
There's nothing good about a man that does that.
No. He has been looking for any opportunity to make Eddie lose face the way that he did as a bully teen. So he trains a raven and gives it to Eddie Poe as a gift. Mm-hmm. He trains it to recite The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, mm-hmm. which is Eddie's favorite poem. But how could Eddie suspect that the real motive behind the gift was that he had trained the bird to spy for him, Joey, mm-hmm. had trained the bird to spy and fly back and repeat whatever was said in Eddie's house during the day. And it just so happens today that what was said was, Poe novel, must keep it safe. Now, Joey assumes that it's a novel that Eddie has written because Eddie is a famed novelist and poet by this point. Mm-hmm.
But he's not talking about his own novel.
No. Mm-hmm. Joey's
not, Eddie Poe's not talking about his own novel.
No.
He's talking about
Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan.
Previously unpublished long form novel.
By Edgar Allan Poe. An unknown manuscript called mm-hmm. The Affair on the Rue Faubourg. Now, we can assume that Rue Faubourg is referring to the Rue de Faubourg Poissonnière in Paris in the 9th and 10th arrondissement.
Mm-hmm.
Because at number 2, Rue de Faubourg Poissonnière mm-hmm. is the secondary school named the Lycée Edgar Poe.
Oh, okay.
And you know what else is on the Rue de Faubourg Poissonnière? The Airbnb where we stayed last summer, number 62,
oh
Rue de
God.
Faubourg Poissonnière.
I love Boom. That.
It all comes full circle, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, we stayed, we did, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was such a charming little area, wasn't it?
It was very diverse in the population, lots of great restaurants and cafes. And
it was so weird because that apartment was so quiet, and yet there was so much action happening on the street, nightclubs and everything.
And you know, two doors down from that, mm-hmm. what I read on Wikipedia in my research,
what?
There was a bomb struck during World War I.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it sure was an exciting time.
Yes.
To live in Paris at any time.
At any time.
Where were we?
Unknown
manuscript by Edgar Allan Poe, Affair of the Rue Faubourg.
Yeah, Joey takes out a little camera.
Yes.
And starts taking pictures.
Yes.
Of it.
Microfilm pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So he releases the raven,
mm-hmm.
who's named Blackie the Fourth,
mm-hmm.
and goes back to his own apartment and puts on a raven outfit that he uses to conceal his identity from the gang he's gathered around me so that they can never betray me.
Well, that's clever. And what a strange costume.
And be on my way to carry out my long, smoldering scheme of revenge. Yeah, he could have just worn a ski mask.
Yeah.
But this is an elaborate raven costume.
In fairness, we are reading a comic called Hawkman.
Yeah.
A man and his wife who are from Thanagar. And they're both police officers and they live mm-hmm. on Earth.
Yes.
And they look like bird people. So,
well,
I mean, it's okay in this context.
In fairness, all the police officers on Thanagar look like hawk people.
Okay.
And what of Eddie Poe? The years have treated him kindly. He is a well-to-do novelist and poet living in the exclusive Viking Woods section of Midway City. Exclusive mm-hmm. to whom and restricted to what?
Mm-hmm.
He has finally authenticated the Edgar Allan Poe novel that he found.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to give a call to Carter Hall, curator of the Midway City Museum, and secretly Hawkman. Oh, you didn't know that? Oh.
Yes, I knew that.
Carter Hall.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't make that connection, but of course I should have made that connection. In fairness, I read up to a couple pages ahead of this
uh-huh.
yesterday, and I was falling asleep.
Right.
Yeah, I was so tired. Yes. So I picked up and finished after this.
Yeah.
So I didn't make that connection. Okay. But I'm totally with it for the rest of it.
Okay.
That's why he shows up at his house.
Right.
Okay.
So Joey instructs his gang that they're going to rob Eddie's house. Meanwhile, Carter Hall pulls up AKA in front of the mansion. Yes. He hears commotion inside. And this I was not aware of.
I did not know that he stored his costume.
He stores his costume in a medallion.
That's like a hell of a costume. Like it's the Flash. Like,
well, I had to research it. It's like the Flash expands upon contact with air.
It's incredible. I mean, it's a sturdy costume, too.
Yeah, wings and a helmet and everything. I mean, no shirt, obviously.
But still, but, I mean, the helmet's probably pretty solid. And the wings, they're not just wings. I mean, there's like a sturdy understructure to those wings.
Yes.
And the anti-gravity belt and everything.
Yes. So in comes Hawkman into the... these criminals are robbing the library because that's okay. where some rare,
he has
books.
Rare books. Yes.
In busts Hawkman and busts up these crooks, but good.
Oh, look who's on the floor.
Who?
Look at the bottom of page 5. Look who's unconscious on the floor.
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that before.
I didn't either. It's almost not distinguishable the way it's colored. So he smashes up these crooks. He does a backflip. This is like the third week in a row we've seen someone do a backflip for fighting purposes.
I have to say, this little fight sequence of panels, very well drawn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
which is a lot for me to say, given how unimpressed I was with the artwork when we first started reading these comics years ago.
Yes. And I will say, I have not ever, I mean, I love Murphy Anderson's artwork. I've not been the biggest fan of his work on Hawkman because it's very, I don't know how to describe it. It's not very aerodynamic looking.
Okay.
Like, say, a Joe Kubert, which is, of course, the pinnacle of Hawkman artwork.
Right. Okay.
I do like this page in particular with the fight scene.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't look like that one, that issue of Superman we were reading where it looked like someone was posed.
Oh, yeah, like a dummy was being chucked through the window.
Yes.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. So, continues beating up the crooks. Meanwhile, peering from another room is Joey dressed as the Raven, and he gets away without being caught and without being identified because none of his gang knows who he is.
Exactly. So later, after Eddie Poe has recovered and the police have taken away the three hoodlums.
Thank goodness those crooks didn't get this original Edgar Allan Poe novel. I'm going to present it to the Midway Museum.
He says, Hawkman says, yes, that's why I'm here. Carter Hall asked me to pick it up. He was tied up with some urgent business.
Something suddenly came up. Next afternoon, there's a formal presentation of the manuscript, but in a cruel and exact detail, the television cameras pick up literary expert Thornton Barringer's revelation that this is a... Oh, go ahead.
This is a crude forgery. I'm surprised at you, Poe. I'm sorry, I keep on saying Poe. Poe, trying to foist off something as bungling and amateurish as this on the public.
I can't understand it. I spent 2 years authenticating that manuscript. Of course, what's happened is Joey has taken the original and put his microfilm copy in the safe.
Yes, yes.
Convulsed with hysterical laughter, Joey Mac watches the humiliation and embarrassment of the man he hates.
Eddie will never live that fiasco down. I finally made him lose face before the whole world. What sweet revenge for him showing me up in front of my gang. Wow, that's a long game he's playing.
And also, it's not exactly equal because Joey is still a successful criminal.
Yeah.
This is going to ruin Eddie Poe's career.
Joey's awful. And he hasn't aged well. Look at that in the bottom.
No, well, he's a redhead and he smokes.
Yeah, well, and his face is just all weird. Just,
yeah.
Poor guy. What's wrong with redheads?
They're bullies.
You weren't a bully.
I have been known to be bullying in my day. Mm. Only my beard was red, not my actual hair.
Okay.
Except for the time I put sun in it.
That's when I met you.
It was Lucille Ball red.
When I met you, you had red hair.
I sure did. Really red hair. Mm-hmm. Now, Carter Hall realizes that the manuscript has been switched because obviously Eddie Poe wouldn't lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
Carter Hall says, how could anyone have... No, you didn't tell anyone except me and Hawkman. And Eddie says, I can't imagine unless maybe that talking raven Joey Mack gave me had something to do with it. It's been gone since the night of the robbery and since Joey's always had a way with birds.
They're putting dot, two dot, and two together, dot. Right. They go hurry over to Mack's apartment.
Yes. No one's home, but mm-hmm. since Raven was involved, Carter believes that Hawkman may help on the case. So he makes a fake phone call.
He does, doesn't
to
he?
To quote-unquote Hawkman, who agrees to try and locate the Raven.
Are you going to do the talking to the Hawks?
I can.
Or the Ravens?
Yes.
Good.
So Hawkman goes to someplace, the city park.
Tweet! Have you seen a newcomer to your flock? A strange Raven? Tweet! Yes, we have! He's on that tree stump yonder!
Soon the story pours forth in raucous sounds only Hawkman and Hawkgirl could understand.
And then my master set me free! Tweet, one more question. Do you know where your master has gone? He was planning to go to someone who buys things he steals. A fence! And the biggest in town is Bo Kemp!
I like how even the characters that appear for one panel have very specific names. Bo Kemp,
oh my God.
The pawn shop owner.
Thank God we don't have to keep names.
And Thornton Barringer, the literary expert.
Sure enough, in the warehouse where Underworld Fence Bo Kemp keeps his quarters.
Here's the treasure I promised Bo, a hitherto undiscovered novel by Edgar Allan Poe. It's the only long one he ever wrote.
So, this clears up the Eddie Poe mess I saw on the television. Is this the manuscript he authenticated? If this is, I can get the cool millions for it.
Suddenly, a black shadow leaps across the warehouse. The beat of mighty wings heralds the coming of...
Hawkman! Again!
So Hawkman realizes that that's the real manuscript. He punches out Joey Mack,
mm-hmm.
first thing.
Two hulking musclemen hurl themselves savagely at the police officer from Thanagar.
Now, Hawkman, again, flips backwards.
He's very good at that.
Yes. He lures the musclemen, the hulking musclemen, to right on top
Here, get
of
on
them.
Top of me.
Just in the right position for him to turn on his anti-gravity belt to full power, and up they fly to the ceiling and get knocked out.
And knocks them a couple punches as they fall down.
Yeah.
But then, what happens?
Then, here comes Joey Mack with a skull in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that come from?
Oh,
and
he
why?
Knows he's had it lying around. Who knows?
He strikes at Hawkman.
But
with
riding
skull.
With the blow... Protected by the thickly feathered hawk's cap, the winged wonder retains just enough strength and consciousness to zonk him out and hit him in the solar plexus.
And I guess this shouldn't surprise me to learn that Hawkman's helmet is feathered. I just never pictured it that way. I pictured it as like a hard helmet that was just colored like a bird head.
Oh, I thought it was like leather.
Well, that would make sense also. Mm-hmm. But... I don't know how they would shrink leather down to get inside that medallion.
Well, you can't think about that sort of thing.
That's all
sense.
I think about.
And so, following the imprisonment of the Raven, Bo Kemp...
Oh, wait. You missed the coup de grace.
Oh, please, go ahead.
It's never more time for you, Raven. Good one, Hawkman. You said that on the splash page.
Following the imprisonment of the Raven, Bo Kemp and his musclemen... The real manuscript is presented to the Midway City Museum.
Yes, indeed. This is the true Poe manuscript. Congratulations on giving the world a new literary masterpiece, Mr. Poe.
So how is he... All he's doing is looking that with, like, a jeweler's eyepiece, right?
That's what authenticators do.
I know, but if it was... If the first thing he looked at was just a photograph of the manuscript...
You inferred that it was a photograph. I think he took photographs of the manuscript with his microfilm and then tried to reproduce it sloppily on the page to discredit Eddie Poe.
All right. So it's ironic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As Hawkman says, without the Raven's help, Hawkman never would have captured Joey Mack. And it's ironic that the one good deed Joey Mack did in all his life by freeing his Raven should have backfired to bring about his downfall.
Yeah, it is ironic.
Is it though? We'll have to ask Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. It's actually just really bad luck.
Hey, I miss Hawk Girl. I wonder if she's going to appear in this issue at all.
Well, just turn a couple pages and you'll see.
The schemes of the jewelry-stealing gang were so cleverly conceived and so expertly executed that even though Hawkman and Hawk Girl captured them, they were unable to bring the crooks into jail.
Nor could the Winged Wonders do anything to prevent the gangsters from keeping the jewelry they specialized in stealing.
Enigma of... I don't know how to react when it doesn't...
Because there's not like usually a... Usually they set it up.
Yeah.
Enigma of the escape happy jewel thieves.
High above Midway City, a winged man and woman are caught in a high-velocity jet stream that whips them topsy-turvy.
So what I'm going to say here is really... is that we're going to go ahead a few pages and have a flashback.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't start with the flashback, because it would have just made perfect sense in this flow.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have given anything away.
Right.
I don't know why we had to go forward in the story and then do a flashback to set up why they're flying in a windstorm. You know?
I know.
Yeah, okay.
I also don't know why they can describe her as a winged woman and then call her Hawk Girl for 40 years. They do change it to Hawk Woman eventually.
Okay.
It's so windy, they can't fly to their Thanagarian spaceship.
Mm.
Also, this is before the Justice League transporters have been invented. So
okay, yes.
They have to fly into space to
okay.
get to their spaceship. I also was not aware. I was aware that they just took ancient weapons from the museum mm-hmm. and used them to fight crime.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I never realized that, of course, those weapons would be damaged beyond repair.
And they need to fix them or replicate them in their spaceship.
But that's what they're on their way to go duplicate the damaged museum weapons.
Which means they're not authentic.
Correct.
When they're duplicated.
Why couldn't they just duplicate them and keep them in the closet for fighting crime or something?
I don't know.
There's lots of things in this issue that are troubling me that I didn't know about Hawk lore. Now, the wind is so strong that it causes a jeweled pistol to fall out of Hawk Girl's weapon sack.
It's gonna fall out of my weapon sack.
Yes. Hawkman orders her to go after it. He can't afford to lose the Sultan's sidearm from the museum wheel lock pistol collection.
But far below, the aerial aces, four men race from a jewel salon.
Let's go. We got the jewels we came after.
One of the guys, they're all dressed in like motorcycle outfits with helmets and goggles and scarves.
They're dressed like those people in the Aha video.
Aha, take on me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Pete must have dropped this jewel pistol. I'll take it along.
So Hawkman and Hawkgirl drop to rooftop height.
Very clever, these jewel thieves.
Yes.
They are four identically dressed motorcyclists.
Yes.
Going in four directions from the jewel store.
Yes, but only two of them are holding bags of loot.
Mm-hmm.
So Hawkman goes after one and Hawkgirl goes after the other.
And then he says, a 100 miles an hour getaway is cut short. Now I have to say, I don't think these motorcycles are really powerful enough to go 100 miles an hour.
Well, thank goodness. I thought you were going to say the Hawkman couldn't fly 100 miles an hour. And
no, I have to beg to differ on this. I mean, 1966, they did have motorcycles that could go that fast, and maybe this engine is large enough to do that, but I don't see, but based upon the size of what they've drawn,
uh-huh.
that this would actually go 100 miles an hour.
I can go along with that. So this thief yanks his motorcycle handles and heaves upward and gets Hawkman in a position where he is outlined against the moon so that he can shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Hawkman has some kind of a ancient
discus or something.
Discus in his bag, and then he throws it and knocks the gun out of the guy's hand.
He's so funny because he says, another dent won't make any difference. We can always duplicate these weapons in their original form. In their original form, which makes them not authentic antiques.
Right.
I'm bothered by that.
Me too.
So he knocks him out.
Yeah.
A Hawkman knocks out the crook.
Yeah. Knocks out the crook, takes the bag of loot, and goes in search of another...
of the four criminals.
Crooks. Mm-hmm. Scarcely has Hawkman flown away than a man leaps from a parked delivery truck nearby, dragging along a second unconscious man, and swaps the unconscious men
with some lookalike
drifter. A looky-likey.
A looky-likey.
Yes. And he announces to the unconscious man that...
If our listener in Great Britain happens to hear that little reference right there, that was a reference to French and Saunders.
I know. He doesn't care for French and Saunders, though.
Oh, okay.
So into the car before the Winged Wonder comes back, and while I'm getting you away, Jim's pulling the same switch over on Hawk Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this criminal had well-laid plans for just such an emergency. Hawkman and Hawk Girl will wind up with two innocent men and worthless bags of loot, while the boys who didn't carry bags but had the stolen gems in special pockets get clean away.
Are Hawkman and Hawk Girl the two only famed supernatural crime fighters in Midway City?
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, yes.
So when he's planning this getaway and this ruse,
yes,
he's doing with the gambling that indeed Hawkman and Hawk Girl will be pursuing these criminals.
Yes. And indeed, we do see that Hawk Girl has taken the bag of worthless loot while this switch is happening here.
Now, they take two of the criminals that they've caught,
yeah,
and they take them to the police station and try to book them.
Yeah.
But both the criminals are saying, I don't know anything about this. I just, you know, somebody knocked me out. The next thing I knew, Hawk Girl was claiming I'd stolen something.
I'm just a drifter. You gotta believe me, Sergeant.
So Hawkman says, wait a second. He opens up the bags of jewels, and he said, they're filled with pebbles. We've been tricked.
Dang it. Now, as the married manhunters fly off, Hawk Girl realizes they never went to look for that jeweled pistol.
Mm-hmm.
So off they go to find it.
They can't find it anywhere.
They cannot.
I think maybe if a passerby picked it up, maybe it'll turn up at the police station. But you know what? We need to get an oscillodetector. Oscillotector. Good God. Oscillotector. And track it by its radiation, because this pistol, this jeweled pistol, yes, actually gives off radiation.
Oh, no. They're not going to get an oscillotector. They're going to build an oscillotector.
Yeah. Meanwhile, let's take a little diversion over to Hawk Valley.
Hawk Valley, in the famed Valley of Hawks.
The aerial aces are soon conversing with their feathered friends.
Wait, wait. Keep a sharp lookout. Should you see four men on motorcycles, come and tell us.
They are thieves.
Wait.
They are thieves, and they must...
Oh, her voice is higher. I can't do it.
They are thieves, and they must be punished. Tweet, tweet.
Late that night, there's a secret museum workshop where they're building the radiation detector device.
It's Big Red.
Wheat.
Big Red. He's spotted the motorcycle gang.
Then it's on wings, and away we go.
Soon...
Oh, what's the
he barking
it's the
at?
Walkers. It's the walkers.
Outside, as you know, if you're a new listener, that you probably don't know, we record in the front of our house, and we can see the street, and there's a husband and wife who walk, and our dog hates the wife.
Hates her.
Hates her.
Yes. Look, so, he's running down the stairs.
He's running downstairs now to go outside and bark, yes. Soon, outside the Mumford Art Gallery...
Hey, it's Hawkman and Hawk Girl. They must be after some crooks.
So it's four motorcyclists there on the street in front of the Mumford Art Gallery who explain that they're members of the City Cycle Club.
Yeah, some man had paid them $10 each to race to the Mumford Art Gallery, go in the doorway, then after a while race out and speed off in four different directions.
I have the feeling we've been taken again.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
An hour later in their workshop, Hawk Girl learns how right she is.
She has just received a call from Police Commissioner Emmett
Four motorcyclists just robbed the Tate Jewel Museum and escaped in four different directions.
Oh, the same MO after making sure we were misled again. We're up against a gang of Sharpies, all right.
And in another part of town, this criminal is gloating over his triumph over Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
He's the boss. He's his, Hawkman and Hawkgirl must be steaming mad. Tomorrow night we'll hit the Diamond Mart. I wouldn't put it past the Winged Wonders to show up. They're almost as clever as I am. And when they do show up, you guys must put up a fight and then get knocked out. That's important to my scheme. See, this time, all four yous will carry the loot bags. Each of those bags will have a special solid steel false bottom to hold and protect the diamonds you're gonna steal. Now get this, each bag will have a powerful bomb inside. When our winged foes open them up, kapow! Then they'll be bashed all over the place.
Bomb? But how can you be so sure they'll open the bags and trigger off the explosion, boss?
Because we tricked them once before with the pebble-filled bags. They'll be so anxious to make sure they really have the loot this time, they'll rush to open them.
Yeah, but suppose Hawkgirl stays behind to guard us and doesn't open a bag.
Oh, that's why it's so important for you to put up a fight and get knocked cold. If you're stretched out, there'll be no reason for Hawkgirl to guard you. Just make sure you guys get yourself knocked out far away enough from where you drop the bags. The Hawks will grab the bags and kapow!
That's a solid plan.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So, the following evening, the married manhunters have finished their radiation detector, and now they can pick up the laser radiation given off by the jeweled pistol, which Hawk Girl lost.
Well, who'd imagine we'd started out the other night to duplicate the damaged pistol that we'd run into the troubles we've been plagued with.
And now we get a flashback.
Now the flashback.
That could have started the whole story with this.
Yes, so earlier this week, the laser gun bandit broke into the museum and fired a laser at the pistol display, which irradiated the Sultan's sidearm
with deadly radiation. So they have to, she said, let's not go near it. Let's take it up to our spaceship and keep it up there. And that's let the radiation wear off.
Because we have some ancient damaged weapons that need duplicating anyway. Let's take them up and that jeweled pistol up to our spaceship, but it was too windy. They couldn't get up there.
So now we go forward. They've got this oscillodetector.
Oscillotector.
Okay. They're flying above, and they see the four crooks.
And they are hearing click, click, clicks because they're tracking the radiation.
Exactly. Each one of them is carrying a bag this time.
Yes. Coming from the Diamond Mart.
Like Jovian thunderbolts, they rocket down at their targets. Hawkman grips the getaway limousine, and by increasing the power of his anti-gravity belt, he lifts it up.
This bastard picks up a car in midair.
He must be so strong. Because, you know, okay, so the anti-gravity belt obviously allows him to lift things. I mean, allows him to
fly. Yeah.
But this bastard's strong. He can pick up a car.
Listen, you don't mess around with Hawkman.
No, or Hawk Girl.
He can fly in space.
Yeah, they're both very powerful.
Yes. He picks up this car and dumps it out on top of these four men and then just starts punching.
Fisticuffs go everywhere.
And she does the same. She grabs a guy and flops him into another guy's head.
They're both very, very good fighters. But then, as the aerial ace is belted into a building wall.
Oh, we should mention he turned off the oscillotector before he started punching.
Oh, that's right.
Now he gets knocked into a wall and it comes back on.
Right, and it clicks on, and all of a sudden he says, wait a second.
Click, 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 click.
We have to get out of here. We have to get out of here right away.
Break off the fight, Hawkgirl. Let's get out of here. Get me out of here. I gotta get out of here.
Wait, I was just about to give them the finishing touch. Gah!
Yeah, she was punching too.
So they break out, and the guys are like, look at them go. Wow, I never thought we'd ever be able to scare these two people away.
Neither did I. I didn't think we were putting up as much of a fight as the boss wanted us to, but I guess we did. I hope he doesn't get sore at us.
Sure enough, back at the hideout. You bungling fools! Why'd you have to overdo the fight?
I guess we're even better than we thought we were, boss.
This means I gotta rack my brains to figure out another way to finish them off.
Look there in the shadows of the doorway. It's Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
They get...
Oh, wait. Sorry. Let me read the dialogue. Hawkman and Hawkgag!
Stomach ache, anyone? Or would you rather have a headache? And they just a bunch and
kicks
she
them the stomach
over
knocks
table
their heads
just,
together. Oh, she's bang, flipping boom, tables boom, like Jesus boom, at the temple.
Boom, 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 boom. Like Jesus at the temple. I love that.
And she throws in a pun, too. Mm-hmm. I vote we table any further discussion till you crooks are behind bars. Flip table.
I don't hear anyone. anybody saying no, so I'm assuming you're all in favor, thud. They're all knocked out.
I know one listener. Here come the walkers again. I know there's one listener in particular who enjoys the little nicknames that superheroes have, like the Married Manhunters.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is one I've not seen before. The Crook-Catching Cutie. Hot girl.
Catching cute. Yeah, I don't like that. I hate these sexist terms. Are they ever going to go walk by us? Do I have to go yell at him?
No, they're gone. They've already walked by.
What's he... Well, they must be coming back.
No, they came this other way.
They did?
Yeah.
Well, what's he going on about?
Well...
No, they're right there.
Okay.
That's why he can see. Well,
knock on the window and scare him off.
Okay.
They have nowhere. They don't even live on this neighborhood.
They're very, very nice people.
Still. They can't be surprised that the dog hates them when they're coming from the it's other the neighborhood. It's
the hair that he doesn't like.
I know what it is. Yeah. I'm not too fond of it myself. Now, Hawkgirl now realizes why Hawkman had earlier ordered her to break off the fight at the Diamond Mart.
Yes.
Because as soon as the oscillotector began clicking when he was rammed into the building wall, he realized one of the crooks must have come into direct contact with the jeweled pistol's radiation.
And if they backed out of the fight, they could follow him back to their hideout and find everything and recover the stolen jewelry.
And enables us to capture the entire gang.
Right. It's very clever.
And afterwards, as they enter the local jail...
One of the guys, one of the
drifters,
he says, "Hey, that's the guy who slugged me, and he left me lying in the street."
Yeah, it's the boss, the crime boss.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkman sees the whole scheme now, and how these dupes were used to dupe Hawkgirl and me, but like all criminal schemes, it was bound to fail. You couldn't possibly take into account that one of your gang would chance to pick up a fallen jeweled pistol.
That shot your scheme full of holes.
Oh, Hawkgirl, who's she? Mm-hmm. She should be playing Vegas with those jokes. Now, dear editor.
Oh, where are you?
I'm on
okay.
The Hawkman's Roost, the letter page. I know you're going to receive tons of raves for Scourge of the Human Race, Hawkman number 15, so I'd like to get my disappointing comments over with.
Oh my.
I really haven't a single good thing to say about this issue because, in my opinion, it was one big mess. Sure, it was a tightly written bit of anthropological theorizing plus fantasizing. Sure, Hawkman and Hawkgirl packed in more action per square inch, not to mention explanation, than any other fighting team in the history of mankind. But how many times do we have to see the winged warriors battle BEMs? What are BEMs? B-E-Ms. How many times must we be persecuted by Gardner Fox's race memory obsessions? I have no idea. I can't remember what this story was.
She said, "This is not to me meant to be insulting, but enough is enough."
It has seemed to me lately that Hawkman has been plodding down a well-beaten road to doom. The fresh, the exciting, the unusual just doesn't occur in Hawkman. I realize each of your superheroes tends to specialize in certain types of villains, menaces, etc. I most strongly object to the line of specialization Hawkman is following. His adventures have been predictable, trite, and boring.
My goodness.
The lack of human interest is appalling. We don't see two human beings in action, only two marvelous fighting machines. These machines have been interesting weapons, make long speeches, vanquish foes, and go back to their limbo immediately afterwards. Big deal. Come on, do something. Signed, Irene Vartanoff, Bethesda, Maryland.
Bethesda, Maryland. My God.
Irene Vartanoff, if you didn't know, was a notorious letter hack for DC Comics in the 1960s. She wrote over 100 letters to DC Comics during the decade. And, in fact, editor Julia Schwartz called her Poison Ivy. Get it? I-V, Irene Vartanoff. She later went on to work at both DC and Marvel Comics. She's still alive. She's still writing. She has a great website. Check her out. Irene Vartanoff.
Good for you, Irene Vartanoff. I love you.
All right. You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. Unless you're Irene Vartanoff, we don't need your rating because you might rate us down for having said you were talking to a manager. And you can find us right back here next week.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Bye. Bye.